only stuck around because she was sick. He shook his head. I did love her. I really did.
I didn't want to cry, but I had no control over the tears that seeped out. When he noticed, a look of alarm crossed his face.
Oh, shit. What have I done? I didn't mean to make you cry.
Wiping my nose with my arm, I sniffled. No, I'm sorry. It's just... it's sad, but it's beautiful, Sebastian. To have had someone you love in your life, even for a short time, is beautiful. It's amazing that you found forgiveness for her and rekindled that love. And she'll always live on through Birdie.
I don't know what it is about you that makes me want to open up.
He rubbed his eyes.
Let's move on to something lighter, okay?
I searched my brain for something lighter. Birdie swears that Marmaduke can say hi. His mouth transformed into a slight smile.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We actually recorded it. Hang on. Taking out my phone, I pressed play on a video I'd taken displaying Marmaduke making a noise that did sound suspiciously like, hi. He chuckled.
I asked to move on to something lighter, not utterly ridiculous.
We were both cracking up now, and thank God the sadness in the air seemed to have eased up a bit. Can I use your restroom? I asked.
Of course.
My legs felt wobbly as I stood up and made my way to the bathroom. Splashing some water on my face, I looked at myself in the mirror. The wine was starting to hit me, and the physical and emotional toll of the night was as well. My attraction to Sebastian was almost painful. I just wanted to make him forget about everything for one night, but more than that, I also wanted him to want me. I was pretty sure he was attracted to me, but I was also pretty sure he respected me. And that meant he wouldn't look at me as a one-night conquest. The latter very well may have been all he had the mental space for right now, which meant there would likely not be any room for someone like me in his life. When I reemerged from the bathroom, Sebastian was still sitting on the couch waiting for me. I was starting to feel like if anything were going to happen between us, I was going to have to give him a little push, test the waters. At least then, based on his reaction, I might know if I even stood a chance for something more with him. I sat down, but this time, in a brazen move, I sat down right next to him. The heat of his body was palpable. His jaw tightened as he just looked at me. His breathing became labored as he very blatantly allowed his eyes to wander down to my cleavage, then back up at my face. Unlike the other times he'd snuck glances at me, it almost seemed like he wanted me to notice. I wanted his mouth on me, but I'd made enough of a move by just sitting this close. The wine was definitely going to my head, amplifying the physical need I was experiencing. He was looking at my lips now. Are you okay with my sitting close to you like this? I asked.
He nodded, still breathing heavier than he had all night. There was no way he wasn't affected by me. I knew that for certain now. I think you're amazing, Sadie, both inside and out, he whispered gruffly. I bit my lip, then continued his sentence. But... don't take this the wrong way. But I'm almost too attracted to you. I feel very out of control around you, like there's the potential to get addicted, and...
And you've made the decision not to let that happen with anyone.
It's what's best for many reasons.
My heart sank upon finally hearing confirmation of what I already feared. I just thought that maybe there could be something there. His eyes were piercing.
There is something. I just don't want to act on it.
Okay. I looked down at his bare feet. A few moments later, I looked up at him. What would you be doing tonight if I wasn't here?
Why does that matter?
It doesn't. I'm just curious. I leaned in a little. Don't lie to me either. Tell me what you really would have done. He nodded.
All right.
After taking a long sip of wine, he finally said,
I was going to call a woman I knew wanted nothing more than to sleep with me. I was going to go to her place, because I don't bring women into this house. I was going to fuck her, safely, and then leave and come back here, feeling no more fulfilled than I had before I left, which is exactly the way I need it to be.
His admission left me speechless for a bit. "When was the last time you were with someone?" I asked.
"It's been a while. A couple of months, maybe," he exhaled. "What about you?"
"Way longer than that." Sebastian swallowed hard.
"Why?"
"Because I can't just be with someone to fuck them. I need something more. I need a connection. I need to be able to look into their eyes and love what I see within them just as much as what's on the outside. A mental connection is very important to me." My feelings seemed to be bursting from me. Somehow I felt like this could have been my one opportunity to express them. I shocked myself when I said, "I'm very attracted to you, in every way. But I totally get why you need to compartmentalize. I get why it would be scary for you to let someone in, not only into your heart, but into your life. I think I'd be the same way in your shoes." He sat there in silence as I went on. "I'm sorry, Sebastian. I'm sorry that things aren't easier. I'm sorry you lost your wife and that you go to sleep alone. I hope that someday you can be happy again. As much as I wish that I could have a chance at getting to know you on a deeper level, I also understand that the space for that in your heart is still taken." He was back to staring at my mouth when he said,
"You make it very difficult to want to compartmentalize, Sadie."
My heart raced. "Do you want me to go?" I whispered. He reached for my hand.
"No."
The feel of his big, warm hand intertwined with mine was just about the best damn thing I'd felt in a very long time. "Then I'll stay. As a friend. As long as you want me to stay, I'll stay. And when you're ready to be alone again, I'll leave." He looked down at our hands.
"I really don't like being alone. I hate it. I hate being here when Birdie's not home. Because then I have to face what I'm left with. Which is nothing without my daughter. I don't want my life to be like this. I want to be happy again. I just haven't figured out how to achieve that."
"I think it just happens on its own. Being happy is not really something people can make happen. It just occurs randomly while we're living and not trying." What he said next broke my heart.
"Amanda never told me whether she would be okay if I moved on. And I think that's part of what holds me back. I would never want her to look down and feel like she'd been replaced. And that haunts me."
His eyes watered as he let go of my hand and said,
"God, this is not what you signed up for tonight. Fucking hell."
"Please," I pleaded. "Please don't apologize. Your honesty is breathing life into me. You have no idea how amazing it is to experience, through your love and respect for your wife, what true love is like. You've given me so much hope, Sebastian, truly." He stared deeply into my eyes.
"Want to know the fucked up thing?"
"Yeah."
"As I sit here talking about my wife, I still can't help wanting to kiss you."
His words ignited what felt like a fire inside me. Talk about a roller coaster of emotions. "No one says feelings have to make sense," I said, my chest heaving with need.
"You asked me what I was really planning to do tonight," he said. "I told you half of the story. But what I didn't tell you is that after you left, I couldn't stop thinking about you. Your infectious smile, and how sexy you looked. No woman in the world was going to stand a chance to get you out of my head tonight. And when you came to the door again, I nearly shit a brick. It was like you'd read my mind."
I moved closer to him so that my face was only inches from his. The physical pull felt really intense. I normally wasn't this assertive, but maybe it had to do with the fact that I'd never been into anyone like this. Yes, I would have loved more than a sexual relationship with Sebastian. But if he wasn't ready for more, would I still want to experience being with him? The answer was yes. Barely able to breathe, I said what I was feeling in that moment. "If you want me, you can have me. No questions asked. I need it as much as you do. We can just take out our frustrations on each other." He swallowed and let out a groan before he shook his head.
"You're intoxicated, Sadie, and so am I. We can't go there."
I nodded silently, I totally understood his point. Therefore, given what he'd just said, you could imagine I was completely shocked when he seemed to lose control, wrapping his hand around my face and pulling me into him just seconds later. The heat of his mouth on mine sent shockwaves throughout my entire body. Sebastian groaned into my mouth, and it vibrated deep in the back of my throat. He tasted like wine, and the most amazing flavor I'd ever tasted. It was all man, all him, and I needed more. I didn't care how buzzed I was. I didn't care about anything other than experiencing every second of this. He pulled me onto him, and I grinded down. I felt like I could come from merely the friction of his erection rubbing against me through his pants. Not to mention, it was clear from that limited contact that he was massive. My legs were quivering as his fingers raked my back. "Fuck," he muttered into my mouth. "You're so sexy, I want to eat you alive." Those words literally made the muscles between my legs contract. Someone could have told me I'd have to risk my life to have him inside me right now, and I might have considered it. Right when I'd felt like I was going to reach my breaking point, Sebastian seemed to fall out of his trance as he pulled back. He covered his mouth and stood up.
"I can't, Sadie. I just can't. I want you, but I can't take you like this. You've had too much to drink, and so have I."
My lips were swollen, my nipples hard. My body was so ready. So naturally, this was a disappointment, but one that was for the best. Panting, I asked, "You want me to leave?" He shook his head vehemently while keeping his distance.
"No, I wouldn't feel right sending you home right now. Please stay. You can have my bed, and I'll sleep in Birdie's room."
I filled with hope. "Are you sure?"
"I insist. No way I'm letting you get in a car with a stranger while drunk, not even if it's an Uber."
His concern made me feel warm, protected. "Thank you." He nudged his head.
"Come on, I'll show you to the room."
Sebastian led me down the hall to his bedroom. A massive king bed with a dark wood headboard took up the center of the space. A satin gray comforter lay atop it. A gorgeous view of the moonlight outside could be seen from the window. As inviting a space as this was, it felt intrusive and forbidden to be in here.
"Make yourself at home. Take a hot shower and the master bath, anything you want."
"Okay," I smiled. "Thank you." After he left the room, I somehow suspected I wouldn't see him for the rest of the night. He'd made the mature decision. I respected him for that, but it in no way extinguished the fire burning inside me right now. That night, I took a shower in his fancy bathroom and lay in his massive marital bed. It felt a bit strange to be lying in the same bed that Sebastian had slept in with his wife. I could completely understand the emptiness he described feeling, and I longed for him. My feelings for this man went way back to before I'd ever even met him. But now that I'd experienced how passionate he was firsthand, it made me fall for him even more.
Chapter 17. Sebastian. I'd come very close to fucking up last night. So close I could smell it. Smell her. I sighed. She smelled phenomenal. Even though I knew I wasn't still drunk, I somehow still felt drunk off her. It was a miracle I'd gotten any sleep at all, but the wine must have knocked me out because sometime after 2 a.m., I'd totally passed out in Birdie's bed. But not before I'd retreated to the bathroom off the hallway to jerk off to thoughts of ramming into Sadie while she was in that yoga plow pose with her legs backed over her head. It took me all of 30 seconds to come harder than I had in months all over the shower door. Better there than inside her last night, and believe me, if she hadn't been intoxicated, that might have very well happened. I threw on a white t-shirt and some jeans and made my way to the kitchen. The smell of coffee infiltrated my senses. The sight of her in my kitchen made my heart nearly stop. I hadn't realized how much I missed having a woman to wake up to. Perhaps it wasn't until this moment that I realized just how fucking lonely I'd been. But it wasn't even that. She was wearing my shirt. my white dress shirt, and no fucking pants, and she was bopping her ass a little, even though there was no music on. "Hey," I called out. Sadie jumped. "Hey," she smiled. "I took it upon myself to make breakfast." She looked down at herself. "I stole one of your longest shirts. I just didn't feel like putting on my dirty workout clothes after the shower I took last night. I hope that's okay." What could I say to that? It was apparently fine with my dick because I was getting hard just looking at her in my shirt. In fact, I was starting to feel like a goddamn caveman. Sleep had done nothing to curb my appetite. I never answered her. I was too busy staring. I figured the least I could do after you let me have your room last night was to make you a nice breakfast. She was being more than gracious, considering I'd mauled her mouth, then sent her off to bed alone last night. The smell of eggs, coffee, and a hint of cinnamon filled the air. And for some reason, instead of feeling guilty or conflicted this morning, I continued to feel fucking high. "This is amazing. Thank you," I said as I came up next to her. Just then, the doorbell rang. I looked out toward the door. "What the hell?" "Are you expecting someone?" she asked. "No." When I opened it, Birdie stood there with a woman I recognized as her friend's mother. My daughter wasn't supposed to be back until this afternoon. "Hey, what happened?" Birdie looked up at me.
"I have pink eye."
"I'm sorry, Mr. Maxwell," the woman said. "It's contagious, so I thought it best to bring her home." Shit. Renee noticed the frazzled look on my face. "Is this a bad time? I tried to call first, but your cell went right to voicemail." That's because charging my cell phone was the last thing on my mind when I went to bed last night. I shook my head. "No, it's fine. Of course it's fine. I totally understand." While I'd gotten the words out, my body was still physically blocking the door. What the hell am I going to do? The last thing Birdie should see was a half-naked Sadie standing in our kitchen. It was inappropriate on so many levels. How would I explain it to her? "Apparently, pink eye is going around in their class. It's usually nothing more than a little bit of eye drops to clear it up. Birdie said she didn't even notice it, right, sweetheart?" My daughter shrugged.
"It doesn't hurt at all."
At that moment, Marmaduke came to the door. He forced his way past me and practically knocked Birdie over on the front step.
"Hey, Marmaduke, did you miss me?"
She bent down and started to pet him, even though he was as tall as she was. Renee smiled.
"I left my husband alone with seven girls, so I better run back."
"Okay, yeah. Thanks a lot for bringing her home." She turned to walk down the stairs, and I looked back over my shoulder while Birdie was distracted with the dog. No sign of Sadie.
You know what, honey? I was just about to take Marmaduke for a walk. Why don't I grab his leash and we'll go together? I'll call the doctor and get you an appointment when we get back."
"Okay, Daddy."
"I'll be back in a minute. You can stay here while I get the leash from the kitchen." Birdie laughed and pointed.
"It's right there, next to your head, Daddy."
Shit. Yeah. The damn leash was hanging right on the key hook in the vestibule next to the front door, wasn't it? Birdie stood and wiped off her knees.
"I'm going to put my pillow and sleeping bag in my room."
"No, don't do that." Her little face wrinkled.
"Why can't I put them in my room?"
Think. Oh, wait. "Because they might have some bacteria on them from your eye infection." I smiled, coming up with that excuse. Though my daughter looked at me funny. Like, "Why the hell are you smiling because my eye infection might be on my blanket, you weirdo?" Nevertheless, I took the pillow and sleeping bag and tossed them behind me into the living room. Then I stepped outside and pulled the front door shut as fast as I could. "Ready?"
Dad, you forgot the leash?"
She looked down.
"And your shoes."
"Jesus Christ. Shoot. Okay, give me 1 second. I opened the door back up, only enough to reach in and grab the leash off the wall and a pair of shoes, and then pulled it shut again. "Let's go." Birdie walked down the stairs. I looked back over my shoulder a few times, but there was still no sign of Sadie. Hopefully she'd figured out what had happened and at least be dressed when we got back.
I stalled for a good half an hour, taking Marmaduke on a long-ass walk until Birdie said she needed to go to the bathroom. Arriving back at the house, I hesitantly opened the front door. Birdie's sleeping bag and pillow were exactly where I'd left them. I glanced around. The house seemed quiet. While Birdie ran off to the bathroom, I peeked into the kitchen. No sign of Sadie. So I went to the bedroom and the master bath, both empty. On my way back out to the living room, I noticed my dress shirt folded in the middle of my bed, the one she'd been wearing this morning, the one she'd worn to sleep last night. She was gone. I blew out a sigh of relief, and my shoulders relaxed. Though while I was glad to protect my daughter, a part of me felt like shit for letting Sadie leave without having said anything to her, especially after what had gone down last night. She deserved better than that. So after I called Birdie's doctor to make an appointment to get her eye checked, I let my phone charge for a little while and then decided to send a text to Sadie. Sebastian. Sorry about the abrupt departure. Birdie came home early with pink eye. I'm taking her to the doctor now. A few minutes later, my phone dinged with a response. Sadie.
No problem. I completely understand. Good luck at the doc.
I debated addressing what had transpired between us last night, but what the hell would I say? Thanks for letting my drunk ass grind against you. I don't want to shower so I can keep your smell all over me. Figuring sometimes it's just better to leave well enough alone, I typed something innocuous. Sebastian. Thank you. Talk soon. Then I set my phone back on the charger. I forced myself to take a quick shower and shave before getting ready to take Birdie to the doctor. Inside my closet, I grabbed the first shirt on a hanger that my hands touched, then went to my dresser to get a t-shirt for underneath. But the folded shirt on the bed caught my eye again. I shouldn't. That would be fucked up. Looking at my closed bedroom door, I stood 5 feet away, staring at the goddamn thing as if I went too close. It might bite me. But the damn thing taunted me even from a distance. Touch me. Smell me. Wear me. Just once won't hurt. I tried to ignore it, but then I started to reason with myself. I should probably just smell it once. See if it needs to be washed. Yeah, that's what I should do. Of course that made sense. One sniff. Just one sniff. I walked over to the bed and picked up the shirt and brought it to my nose. Inhaling deeply, the smell of Sadie permeated my senses. It smelled exactly like her. Fuck. Fuck me. I inhaled a second time. Though I should have listened to myself, just one sniff. Because the second time, Birdie busted through the door, catching me red-handed, with my face nuzzling the shirt. Her brows drew together.
What are you doing, Daddy?
I was just making sure my shirt was clean. She giggled.
Is it?
Yeah, I guess so. I stood there staring at her.
Do you feel okay, Daddy? You're acting really weird today.
Yeah, I'm fine, sweetheart. Sorry.
Come on.
She held out her hand.
It's time to go to the doctor.
Okay. Just let me grab a shirt.
What's wrong with that one?
It's dirty. She laughed.
You just said it was clean.
Oh, yeah. It is clean. It just has a stain on it. I wadded up the shirt in my hand and tossed it on the bed, picking up the one I'd taken out from the closet. I'll just wear this one. Later that evening, I was glad when Birdie said she was tired and going to turn in early. We were both wiped out from our slumber parties last night. I really needed to unwind, and I looked forward to going into my room, kicking my feet up, and watching some TV, maybe. But after flicking through the channels and finding nothing, I decided what I really needed to relax was more than some stupid show. I needed a release. So I got up and locked my bedroom door and slid open my end table drawer where I hid lotion. Only when I went to grab it, there was a folded piece of paper sitting on top of the bottle. Thinking nothing of it, I took it out and unfolded it.
Dear Sebastian, I had a great time last night. If you're reaching into the drawer for what's underneath this note, I hope you think of me while using it. God knows I thought of you while I did my thing last night in your bed. Love, Sadie. P.S. You might want to wash the sheets.
Winking emoji.
Chapter 18. Sadie. Talk soon. That's what his last text had said. But apparently the two of us had different definitions of soon. 5 days and still no contact. As if I'd suffered a loss, I'd gone through the stages of grief. At first, I was in denial that Sebastian wasn't going to contact me again. I'd checked my phone every 20 minutes, even though I had the volume set all the way up and my ringer also set to vibrate, you know, just in case he'd messaged or called when I fell asleep or something. I knew that Sebastian and I were looking for different things, but even a hookup deserved some gratuitous conversation after the fact. After the first few days of silence, I'd gone on to anger. How dare he not call or message after that evening? I knew I'd been the one to initiate things, but he was more than a willing participant. The erection prodding at my hip was proof positive of that. Then, on day 6, contact had finally come. Sebastian's number had popped up on my cell phone, and I got so excited that I fumbled it in my hands and dropped it on the floor, which resulted in the screen cracking. But hey, at least he'd finally called. Only the voice on the other end when I'd answered wasn't Sebastian's at all. It was Magdalene's. She'd called to make arrangements for my next training session because Birdie had been asking when I was coming. Apparently, the man of the house was too damn busy to call himself. After that, I'd moved on to the next stages, the ones that are supposed to come after denial and anger. I think those are bargaining, depression, and acceptance. But I'm not positive, because who am I kidding? I didn't go to any next stage. Well, unless even more pissed off was the stage that came after anger. Now here it was, Saturday morning, and I stood in front of the Maxwell's brownstone ready to toss around a big attitude as I knocked for my weekly training. Except when the door opened, it wasn't Sebastian. Or Birdie. Or Magdalene, even. It was a woman wearing a bathrobe who had her hair wrapped up in a towel. She smiled at me and extended her hand. You must be Sadie. I'm Macy. Seb told me you'd be here at 11, but I seem to have lost track of time in the shower. His water pressure is incredible. Seb? Shower? I felt like I got kicked in the gut. All my anger suddenly vanished, and I skipped stage 3 and went right to stage 4, depression. Hi. The woman opened the door wide. Come on in. Make yourself at home while I run and throw on some clothes. I nodded and followed her inside, even though all I wanted to do was turn around and leave. The woman walked down the hall, towards Sebastian's bedroom. In a state of shock, I stood there staring after the door closed and couldn't seem to move until she came back out. There, that's better. She walked out wearing a pair of tight jeans with a t-shirt and pulled the towel from her hair. Long red locks cascaded around her pretty face. Birdie and Magdalene should be back any second. I blinked a few times, realizing I hadn't even noticed that they weren't here. Oh, okay. Are you staying here? Just until tomorrow. I hadn't planned on coming, but it was such a nice surprise when Seb called and invited me that I just couldn't say no. She smiled. I'm usually the one pushing myself on him. Jealousy pulsed through my veins, and I clenched my teeth. This woman obviously had no clue that just 1 week ago, I was the one sleeping in that same exact bedroom she'd just gotten dressed in. I couldn't help but let her know that little fact. I hope you washed the sheets before you two... I motioned with my hand toward Sebastian's bedroom. Before you two did whatever you did in there. Because my naked ass was all over them less than a week ago. The woman's brows shot up. She started to say something when the front door flew open. Birdie and Marmaduke came racing in, making a giant ruckus. Magdalene walked in a few seconds afterward, out of breath. She smiled. They raced for the last block. I'm no match for a 10-year-old and a 4-legged runner. The redhead from Sebastian's bed walked over and helped Birdie with her jacket. As soon as it was off her shoulders, she ran to hug me. I felt an ounce of vindication. At least Birdie liked me better. Sadie, can we work on rollover today? Sure, whatever you want. Can Aunt Macy help? My brow furrowed. Who?
Aunt Macy! A feeling of dread washed over me. The redhead walked over and put her hands on Bertie's shoulders, looking down at her. I didn't get a chance to explain who I was yet, sweetheart. The woman looked up at me. Like my niece said, I'm her aunt. I closed my eyes. God, this can't be happening. Please, please tell me she's Sebastian's sister. That's the least you could give me here. Swallowing, I opened my eyes. Sebastian's sister? The woman shook her head back and forth. No, his wife's. I wanted to crawl into a hole. After my training session with Bertie ended, Magdalene said she was taking her to a playdate at a friend's house. I figured I'd slink out with them, even though I knew that I owed Macy an apology. But apparently, I wouldn't be getting off that easy. Sadie, do you have a minute? Damn, I'd been so close to the door. I sighed and nodded, then bent to hug Bertie goodbye and told Magdalene I'd see her next week. When the door closed, I took a deep breath and turned around to face Macy. I'm so sorry about earlier. She smiled warmly. How would you like a cup of tea or maybe some coffee? Is it too early for wine? Macy laughed. A girl after my own heart. Come, let's raid Sebastian's liquor cabinet. I'm pretty sure he has some Baileys that we can spike our coffees with. I'd been joking, but apparently Macy wasn't. She went into Sebastian's office, pulled out a bottle, and then headed to the kitchen to make two coffees and stirred in the creamy liquor. Back out in the living room, we sat together on the couch. I'm mortified by what I said, I shook my head. I honestly don't know what came over me. Obviously, I didn't know you were his sister-in-law. I just saw you going into his bedroom to change, and you'd said you were usually the one pushing yourself on him, and I'm so sorry. She waved me off. No big deal. I get it. If I were in your shoes, I'd probably have done the same thing. Maybe worse. I once caught my ex-boyfriend cheating on me and yanked off his plaything's bad extensions. I laughed, yet still felt nervous. Thank you. Macy sipped her coffee. So, how long have you two been seeing each other? I shook my head. We aren't. Well, not really. We just... The other night, we... And then... Macy put her hand up. No explanation needed. My brother-in-law is a complicated man. I miss my sister something fierce, and I know she and Sebastian loved each other. But I know she'd want him to move on. He's grieved long enough. I couldn't help but notice that you and Bertie really seem to have a strong bond. I smiled. Yeah, I think we do. I lost my mom when I was little, about her age, actually. So I feel like I can relate to a lot of what she's going through. The simple things. Not having a woman to go clothes shopping with her, do her hair. Just have those moments a girl and her mom have. Macy frowned. I should have come down more often the last few years. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to imply she didn't have you. I felt my face flush with embarrassment. I just keep putting my foot in my mouth with you today. She smiled sadly. It's fine. I just feel bad because you're 100% right. Sometimes the truth hurts to hear, but that's not your fault. My niece is missing out on those moments with her mother and should have a woman role model. Her eyes searched my face. I saw that in you today. She looks up to you. She's a great girl. Macy caught my gaze. She is. And I take it you like her dad? It felt really odd to be having this conversation with his dead wife's sister, but she was being so nice after I was a total jerk. So I was honest. I nodded. He's a really great guy and a special dad. Can I offer you some advice?
Sure.
If you think there's something there, don't be nervous to push a bit. A lot of men are afraid of commitment, but Sebastian isn't one of them. He's a for better or for worse kind of guy. Unfortunately, life gave him a few more worses than betters lately. The problem with him is, his decisions don't just affect him, obviously. And he's afraid to make decisions that might hurt his daughter. I smiled. I did push a bit last week. And while we moved forward in that moment, He seems to have taken 4 steps away from me after it happened. So if he took 4 back, then you take 2 forward and make him take 2 forward. Have you two been out on a date yet? I shook my head. Try starting there. Baby steps. I sighed. I don't know. Macy patted my hand. You'll figure it out. In the meantime, thank you for being there for my niece. It's my pleasure. We finished our coffees, and then Macy walked me to the door. Oh, one more thing. Tomorrow, I'm taking Birdie to brunch and a play in the city. It's a surprise, but we're seeing The Lion King. Just the two of us. I smiled. That's great. I'm sure she'll love that. Yes, we're leaving about 10. We won't be back until at least 7. Sebastian goes into the restaurant about 3 on Sundays. So he'll be home all alone from 10 to 3. She winked. I thought maybe you might want to know that. The next morning, I kept going back through my conversation with Macy over and over again. Maybe she was right. In hindsight, my dad could have used a little push. He'd spent so many years worrying about doing the right thing for me and feeling guilty over moving on. I wish a woman who cared about him had pushed him a bit to find some happiness for himself. So I took a deep breath and picked up my phone. Without allowing any further debate, I shot off a text and immediately hit send. Except in my haste to get the message out before I changed my mind, I hadn't noticed the typo. What I'd meant to type was, Sadie, hey, are you free? I was wondering if you could meet me this morning. But what I'd actually typed was, Sadie, hey, are you free? I was wondering if you could eat me this morning. I shut my eyes and shook my head. I watched the message go from sent to delivered to read and started to laugh out loud. I'd been so grumpy this week that it felt good to not take myself so seriously. The little dots began to jump around and then stopped, then started to jump around again. I imagined what Sebastian's face might look like after reading that text, and it amused the hell out of me. While I waited to see how he might respond, the ridiculousness of the last week just hit me and I cackled like a loon. Though my laughter came to an abrupt halt, seeing the response pop up on my screen. My eyes nearly bulged from my head, and I had to blink twice to read the text a second time. Sebastian, be here at 11. Oh my freaking God. Did I just invite myself over for oral sex and he accepted? I think I might have. Is it possible he could have read my text as it was originally intended and not how it had been delivered with the typo? I reread the short exchange one more time. Sadie, hey, are you free? I was wondering if you could eat me this morning. Sebastian, be here at 11. It seemed pretty clear to me. Though what the hell was I going to do now?
Chapter 19. Sebastian. I kept staring at the text. She didn't mean eat, did she? I laughed at the fact that I truly didn't know. After that little note she'd left by my bed, I honestly couldn't be certain if Sadie was being sexually blunt or not. I also couldn't seem to decide whether I wanted her to have meant eat. What I was sure of, the thought of eating her made me hard as all hell. The doorbell rang almost as soon as the clock struck 11. I went to the door to greet her, feeling somewhat tense, especially given the thoughts that had just been running around in my mind. Sadie looked gorgeous, dressed in a white wool peacoat. It was finally starting to feel like fall now. Her cheeks were flushed from the cold. Her hair was down in long, loose tendrils. Come in. Before I had a chance to say anything, Sadie just started talking. Fast. She looked down at her feet, then up at me.
I realized my message said eat me. I meant meet me. I didn't want you to think I meant eat me. I mean, if you wanted to do that, I wouldn't complain, but I didn't want you to think I was suggesting anything. You know, stupid voice to text. I can't even tell you how much trouble it's gotten me into the past. Sadie, relax. I figured it out. I was 80% sure you meant meet me. She blew a breath up into her hair.
Oh, great.
And the other 20%?
Well, that's sort of what I like about you. That there could be a doubt. You have bold tendencies. You're not afraid to say what you want. It would have been an interesting request. Thoughts of ripping that coat off, carrying her to the couch, before spreading her legs apart and burying my face between them came to mind. That certainly wasn't the worst thought in the world right now at all. And if she'd meant eat me, God knows what I would have allowed myself to do right now. Getting out of here for a bit would be a good idea. Speaking of eating, Sadie, it's almost lunchtime. Do you happen to like Italian? She smiled.
I happen to love Italian.
How about we head to my restaurant? It's rare I actually get to enjoy it from a visitor's perspective. I normally go there in the afternoons on Sundays to do business and take inventory. We could grab some lunch together first. She beamed.
That sounds amazing.
Let me grab my crotch, I said. Her forehead crinkled.
Excuse me?
I meant coat, I winked. Let me grab my coat. I just wanted to show you how easy it is to misspeak. The laughter she let out after that made the risky joke totally worth it. That afternoon at Bianco's, my employees seriously were a little too interested in my guest. Every time I would make eye contact with the hostess or the waiters, they would be looking over at us, smiling. It was true that my staff had never seen me bring anyone but my daughter to the restaurant since Amanda's passing. Of course, as soon as they spotted Sadie, each and every one of them drew a certain conclusion. I suppose I still didn't really know if their assumptions were correct. Was I dating Sadie at the moment? Was this an official date? I had no idea. It sure as hell felt like dating. The adrenaline, that excitement you feel when you first start seeing someone, it was all there. I supposed the only thing stopping me from truly experiencing all those things without any hesitation was my own conscience. My head waiter, Lorenzo, returned to the table to take our order. His goofy smile totally gave away what he was thinking. He turned to her.
What can I get you, madam?
Sadie closed her menu.
I think I'm going to try Bertie's pasta bolognese.
Bertie will be tickled you chose that, I smiled. Lorenzo nodded.
Wonderful choice.
He looked over at me. And you, Mr. Maxwell? God, it feels surreal to be ordering in my own restaurant. You know what, Lorenzo? I'll have the same. He took the menus and walked away with the same grin on his face. He turned around where Sadie couldn't see him and gave me a huge thumbs up. I grinned and shook my head. Maybe bringing Sadie here was a mistake. Everyone was just a little too excited about this. Sadie looked around.
It's so beautiful here. You've done an amazing job with the decor.
We had fireplaces in various corners of the restaurant. Exposed brick and dimmed lighting made it a very relaxing atmosphere. Amanda had a lot to do with choosing the decor, so I can't take full credit for it. Could you maybe learn not to mention your dead wife every time the opportunity arises?
Well, she had remarkable taste.
My eyes wandered the space. This place was our other baby. Continuing to run it has been challenging, but also a blessing. It's the one thing that truly got me through the toughest times.
Work can be good that way for sure.
Restaurants are risky endeavors, especially in this city, where good meals are a dime a dozen. There's just so much competition. You have to really figure out a way to break the mold. Sadie's eyes were filled with wonder.
It's amazing, really. I think love and passion go a long way. This place thrives because it started out with two people who loved and respected each other, putting their minds together. Couple that with the fact that most of the meals are old-school recipes from your grandmother. This is more than just a restaurant. It's history and love and spirit all rolled into one. Just sitting here, I can feel it.
Sadie looked like she was about to cry. She wasn't just saying all that to blow smoke up my ass. She'd truly meant it. Her passion was definitely remarkable. I always feel that too here. I'm glad you recognize it.
After our food arrived, we had an easy and enjoyable lunch. Add wine into the mix, and it was probably a good idea that I planned not to get much work done this afternoon after all. We weren't drunk. Certainly not anywhere near the level we'd been when she'd spent the night. I would call it just slightly buzzed and happy. After lunch, I placed my hand on the small of her back as we left the table. Initiating even that amount of contact was huge for me. Deciding to do that hadn't even felt like a struggle. It had felt natural, almost a protective touch to ward off all the prying eyes that were upon us. I was tempted to be alone with her and just remembered something I wanted her to see before we left. "Come on, I want to show you something," I said. Walking her down to the basement, I used my key to unlock the door to our massive wine cellar. Her mouth went agape.
"Wow, this is like heaven."
"Yeah, pretty proud of this. It's not something the patrons even know exists most of the time. Although our VIP guests often come down and choose their wine, but we don't let just anyone down here."
"It looks like something I'd imagine in Europe."
"Well, we actually built it out of stone and brick to mimic cellars found in Europe, so you're not that off base."
"It must have been quite the project putting this all together."
"It was. You have to make sure you have the right shelving for the bottles, and of course it has to be just the right temperature for the wines to keep them preserved. So we had to put in a high-end temperature regulation system and a backup generator, too."
"Wow, so much to think about."
Her eye was on a bottle of Cabernet. "Would you like to pick something to take home?" I asked.
"Oh, no, that's not necessary."
"I insist." She grinned, then began running her index finger along the bottles as she walked slowly down the cellar wall. I followed her and couldn't help breathing in her amazing scent. Finally, she turned to me.
"I've made my decision," she said.
Eager to see which bottle she'd selected, I waited for her answer. Instead of taking one of the bottles off the shelf, she wrapped her hands around my face instead and said,
"I pick this one."
Before I knew it, her lips were on mine, and my tongue had slipped inside her hot mouth. Any other thoughts I might have had evaporated. All I could think about was how good it felt to kiss her again. She spoke over my lips.
"I want to take you home, not some bottle of wine."
I was hard as a rock as her soft breasts pressed against my chest. Certainly, I wasn't thinking with my brain when I grabbed her by the hand and said, "Let's get out of here." Leading her outside, I wasn't even sure where we were headed as I hailed the first cab that would stop, nearly getting run down in the process. When the cabbie asked our destination, we just looked at each other. She must have seen the clear hunger in my eyes because she gave him what I assumed was her home address. The ride to her apartment was a blur, a mix of being in a lustful haze along with continuing to question whether I was doing the right thing and going home with her. After I paid the cab fare, I grabbed her hand as she led me up the stairs to her apartment. The door had hardly opened before she threw off her coat and her purse fell to the ground when I pulled her into me. My mind felt almost outside of my body. Lifting her up, I guided her legs to wrap around my waist. She sucked on my neck and grinded against my engorged cock. We were still standing as I carried her, desperate to find the bedroom.
"First door on the left,"
she rasped into my ear. It felt like the longest walk of my life to get there. I'd never been so hungry for anyone in my entire life. Lifting her shirt over her head, I marveled at her full yet perky tits busting out of her lavender lace bra. Lowering my head down, I sucked on her skin, but needed to taste her nipple. I promptly undid her bra from the back and let it fall to the floor. "Fuck, you have beautiful tits," I said as I devoured them one by one. Sadie's head was bent back in ecstasy. I wanted nothing more than to see what noises she'd make if I lowered my mouth even farther south. I whispered in her ear, "Still want me to eat you today?" She laughed a little through her heavy breaths and nodded.
"Fuck yes."
Sadie fell back onto the bed as I hovered over her. I worked to pull off her pants, then her panties. Spreading her legs apart, I did what I'd been dreaming about all damn day, bringing her pussy to my mouth. She tasted so fucking sweet. I hadn't done this to anyone since my wife. I'd stuck to quick vanilla sex with a condom. But feeling Sadie's warm flesh against my tongue, tasting her and consuming her arousal, was just about the most intimate thing I'd done with anyone for as long as I could remember. She moaned as I lashed my tongue over her clit, circling and sucking the sensitive flesh there. Her hands raked through my hair as I worked my face overtime to please her. My dick was so hard I thought I might come in my trousers before this was even finished. Sadie bucked her hips to meet my not-so-gentle tongue thrusts. I knew she was close to coming and needed to make a decision as to whether I wanted to let her come on my face, or whether I wanted to join in on the fun. When it seemed like she was close, I pulled back suddenly. Do you want to come on my mouth, or with me inside you?
I want you inside me, she panted.
Those words were clear as day, and they were all I needed to hear. Thank fuck I always traveled with a condom in my wallet. I could honestly say I'd never had to use one so unexpectedly before. Reaching into my back pocket, I took the condom out and ripped it open with my teeth, so desperate to be inside her. I lowered my pants, causing my erect cock to spring forward. The tip was completely covered in pre-cum. Sadie's eyes were fixed on my dick, and when she wet her lips, I couldn't sheathe myself fast enough. I should have been gentler with her, but my instinct was just to enter her in one rough movement. The sound of pleasure that exited her when I pushed balls deep inside confirmed that she wanted it this way too. Never had I been comfortable enough with anyone but my wife to let myself get completely lost in sex. There was no trepidation, no hesitancy on my part, just raw need.
Sebastian,
she whispered over and over. Every time Sadie said that, it made me thrust harder, wanting to earn every last utterance of my name. Fuck, Sadie. Just fuck. I could hardly speak, feeling like I'd totally lost my mind. Pull my hair harder, I said, having no qualms about telling her what I wanted. Spread your legs wider. She did as I asked and bucked her hips even faster. It seemed someone liked to be ordered around in bed, and I was happy to oblige. Tell me when you're ready, Sadie. A few seconds later, her body quaked as she grabbed my ass. I'm coming, she said. It was barely audible, but I'd heard it. I let myself go, pushing so deep inside her as I emptied my endless load into the condom. Her hand was on my ass the entire time, guiding me as I came. The sounds she made along with her orgasm were something I would never forget. This girl had totally rocked my world in a matter of minutes. As I collapsed over her, we panted almost in sync. It was seriously the craziest sex of my life. And while it was completely primal and raw, I knew that part of the reason I was able to let go to that level was because I trusted her. It was different from anything I'd experienced since Amanda. And if I were being honest, different from anything I'd experienced before Amanda. But I wouldn't let my mind go to thinking about my wife right now, because that was somewhat fucked up. It took a few minutes before I could bear to pull out of her. If I'd had my way, I would have stayed inside her for a lot longer. But I wasn't exactly clear on the safety of doing that, considering the massive load I'd expelled into that rubber. After I disposed of the condom, I returned to her and laid my head on her bare breasts. I could feel her heart beating against my ear a mile a minute. That was my first confirmation that what had just happened between us was far more than just the best fuck of my life.
Chapter 20. Sadie. I didn't know what was better. What had transpired this afternoon, or the sight of Sebastian's tanned, muscular ass as he got up off the bed to put his pants back on. He turned to the side just enough for me to catch a glimpse of his erect cock bobbing up and down before it disappeared into his boxer briefs. Damn. His body was literally perfect. His legs so toned, his skin so bronze, and his abs looked carved from stone.
I couldn't believe I'd just had sex with him. I couldn't believe we'd managed to resist doing it again. But he'd only had one condom, and though I was on the pill and mentioned that to him, the thought of doing it without one didn't even seem like an option to Sebastian. So instead, I'd lowered my head and taken him into my mouth until he came down my throat. The guttural sounds he made when I was going down on him were beyond sexy. It was the least I could do, considering I'd riled him up by rubbing my wetness against his leg, not to mention the amazing oral sex he'd given me earlier. "You're a beautiful man," I couldn't help but say as I continued to watch him get dressed. He smiled back at me as he threw his shirt over his head. After he finished getting dressed, he crawled back onto the bed and faced me as I remained naked under the covers. He leaned in and kissed my nose. "I have to get home before Bertie gets back." I looked over at the clock and couldn't help noticing that it was actually a bit early for him to have to leave so soon. She wasn't supposed to be home until 7. I'd hoped he'd want to stay and hang for a while longer. But I wasn't about to seem clingy, because that wasn't very attractive. Sebastian didn't seem like the kind of man who would appreciate that, especially since he already had one little girl to coddle. He didn't need another. So I put my neediness and vulnerability aside and said, "Yeah, you'd better get back." He lifted himself off the bed. I stood up, grabbing one of my robes to cover myself. But not before I caught Sebastian ogling me every second that my flesh had been exposed. Whatever hesitancy he might have been experiencing right now, I didn't think it had anything to do with the lack of physical compatibility with me. He stood staring at me for a moment, like he wasn't sure what to say. "We'll talk soon, okay?" I leaned in to plant a chaste kiss on his lips, then answered, "Yeah." After he left, I'd be lying if I said I didn't feel a little empty. We'd gone from the most amazing sex I'd ever had to this odd feeling of detachment, which was weird because I'd felt so extremely connected to him the entire day, not just sexually, but in every way. Nevertheless, our having sex seemed to change something. As if someone upstairs knew I needed the support, Devin sent me a text as I was ruminating. "Devin, super bored and the guy is out with his friends. Want some company?" Sadie: "Yes, but don't bring wine. I had my fill today." Devin: "Speak for yourself, more for me." Sadie: "LOL, okay, see you soon." She knocked in her usual upbeat rhythm. When I opened, Devin looked at my face, then down at my neck. "What the hell got into you? Or should I say, who?" "What are you talking about?" Admittedly, I wasn't necessarily going to tell her about Sebastian. I hadn't fully decided whether that was a good idea, regardless of how much I wanted to talk it out. So I wondered how she could be so sure that something had happened. I tried to play dumb. "What are you talking about? Have you looked at yourself in the mirror? You have bruises down your neck and chest." I ran to the mirror in the hallway. Shit. Sebastian had given me multiple hickeys. "Spill! What happened?" She figured it out before I had a chance to confess. "Oh my God! Oh my God!" She shook her head. "It was Sebastian Maxwell, wasn't it?" When I continued to not say anything, that was all but an admission. "Holy shit!" She put the wine on the counter and proceeded to open it. "I'm grabbing a glass for this, and then you're gonna tell me everything." After, we sat down in the living room, and I told Devin everything that had happened today while sparing some of the most intimate details, as much as she would have wanted and appreciated them. So I told her that we slept together but kept the specifics to myself. "Holy shit! I can't believe it! Why don't you seem stoked? This is, like, the best thing ever to happen to us." "Us?" I frowned. "It really was the best thing ever. No one's ever made me feel the way he did." Drawing her own conclusion from my expression, she added, But something I couldn't quite figure out changed before he left. I think maybe what happened really hit him. "What do you mean? Like the fact he fucked you?" It's not the first time he's had sex since his wife died. But I get the impression it was the first time it was with someone he might have feelings for. I think maybe either he started to feel guilty or maybe he regretted it. I can't be sure. She sighed. Of course it can't be simple, right? No. And in this case, I wouldn't expect it to be. To be honest, I'm still a little shocked that it actually happened, so I can imagine how he feels, all the emotions he might be going through once the reality of what we did sets in. I just hope he's okay. She swirled her wine around in the glass and shook her head. Wow. What? Most women would feel neglected in your shoes, but you're actually thinking about his feelings? You really care about him, don't you? I didn't even have to think about it. Yes. Yes, I really do. And it's scaring me because I stand a very real chance of getting hurt because of that. The way our texts read, anyone picking up my phone might have thought this man was my brother. I sighed and scrolled back to reread our messages from the last couple of days. Late Sunday night, after Devin had left, there had been, "Sebastian, hey, sorry I had to run this afternoon. I had a really nice time." Nice? That wouldn't be the word I'd use to describe earth-shattering sex. Phenomenal? Amazing? Incredible? Nice was more like something your great-aunt said to you. Thanks for stopping by the nursing home today, Sadie. It was so nice to see you. Yet, I'd followed his lead and typed back. Sadie, no worries. I had a nice time, too. Then, on Monday evening, I just couldn't stop wondering what was going on in Sebastian's head, so I decided it was my turn to initiate contact this time. I figured I'd be funny, so I typed, "Sadie, hey, how was your lay?" The dots had moved around a bit, then stopped, and then started again. Eventually, he'd typed back, "Sebastian, busy. How about yours?" I'd been disappointed he didn't take the bait with my intentional typo, yet I replied back, "Sadie, good." Tuesday and Wednesday, we had no interaction. Then last night I got my hopes up when my phone buzzed with an incoming text. "Sebastian, are you busy Saturday evening?" I'd been thinking dinner, a movie, sex maybe. "Sadie, I'm free after 7. But my heart sank reading his response. "Sebastian, think we can do training at 7:30 or 8? Birdie has been bugging me. Apparently she taught Duke a new trick, and she can't wait to show you. She won't even show it to me first." I smiled at Birdie's being excited. Though again, I felt disappointment that the text didn't mention anything about the two of us. Yet still, I said nothing. Instead, I'd answered, "Sadie, that sounds good. Can't wait."